Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're going to be doing part 5 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is tape or CD number 106. You can order this tape or CD by simply calling our number or contacting us on our website or addressing mail to us. Let's give them right from the get-go our website number.
AlamoMinistries.com.
And our phone number?
479-782-7370.
And our Texarkana, Texas P.O. Box?
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
And address your mail to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. And that's the Texarkana address. All right, so as I said, we have part 5 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Now, the life of God is, when something evil happens unto you, like for instance, there's been a lot of things happening evil to those of us that are carrying the gospel now for a lot of years. Right now, we're being threatened by a bunch of backsliders to stand with picket signs in front of my home. They were taken out of the ministry because of that they wanted to live their own kind of life, their own. A lot of them wanted to drink alcohol, take narcotics and drugs, and have extramarital sex. And some of them were put out because of child abuse and many other things. We will not stand for child abuse. That's one thing, and that's one of the many things we won't stand for. Some of them wanted to have weapons because they felt that, I guess, Satan was strong. I guess they felt that Satan was more powerful than God. But we're going through all these different things, and I ask that all of you people in Radio Land stand with us in prayer because, I know that whatever God does, that it's or whatever happens to us, I know that it's of the Lord. And I just heard a woman on television stating that it makes herself stronger when something like that happens, because evidently the people in the church are not praying enough or seeking God enough. And then when something like this happens, he allows it to happen so that people will crucify their flesh, fast, if you will, get a hold of God so that God will make a move and move this particular situation out of the way. I remember so many different times when we used to be, years ago, raided by different Interpol, international police, which is headed by the world Antichrist, which is in Rome, that has control over the world government and also the world media, and they slam and slur people all the time because we believe the gospel. And we preach the truth of the Word of God. But if we just recall that these things that we go through, I mean, after my wife died, she passed away, they wanted us to go to court. They made us go to court and wanted us to cut paychecks for all the people that we'd won off the streets and built homes for and paid for their children to be born, built schools for their children and everything, and now all of a sudden we had to do that. And so it's just one thing after another, and one false statement after another that's been said about us. But this was all allowed to have been done by the Lord to where we would get a hold of the Lord more. And when people didn't do it, when things like that hit, they fell away from the Lord. I would say at least half of our congregation fell away because they didn't listen. There was many times that I would stand in the pulpit and tell them that I can't understand why God has not destroyed you people. I felt very much like Moses, who would stand in defense of them and plead with God not to kill them. But God did kill all the old-timers in the ministry. The Bible says that there'd be a great falling away of the church in the last days. And I really have seen at least half of the people of this strong, powerful church fall away. But thank God the Lord gave me the power within to know that everything that hits is nothing but a sign for people to get a hold of the Lord and to get a hold of Him very strong, because there's a lot of false prophets that are preaching that we're not going to go through the tribulations. But I'm telling people that you will go through the tribulations. As a matter of fact, we're into the tribulations right now. But people are not spiritually aware enough to realize it. But that's the whole reason to have God's life living in you, so that you'll be able to endure all the things that are going to be hitting this earth in the near future. If people are told, well, we're going to just be raptured out of this, just send your tithes and offerings into us. If that's the way you think that that's going to happen because you send in tithes and offerings, well, you're wrong. The Lord says that we're going to be in the worst of times, that never before has there ever been a time like we're going to be seeing here on earth. As a matter of fact, earth has never seen the type of things that we're going through right now, and the Lord says that there's much more coming. And so if you know the Bible well enough, you need to know that you have to hang on to the Lord and know that if there's any destruction or catastrophe happening in your life, it's primarily God is allowing it to happen so that you'll get a hold of Him, and it's because you're not praying enough, you're not seeking Him enough. Sickness, disease, infirmities, loss of loved ones, loss of property. I remember when the government marched in on our clothing store, which was the number one clothing store in the world. We catered to more movie stars and wealthy people than any place that I know, except for maybe Harrods department store in London. And in Nashville, they marched in and took everything. And I put big signs in the window. I said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I was so happy that that happened, because I was wondering, how in the world am I ever going to get out of this? All I am is ordering things to put in the store, and then marking things down when they weren't selling enough, and then pricing out things, and it was like a rat race, or like a squirrel in one of those cages that they keep running, and they keep going around in circles. I was happy that it happened. So the government, the devil, through the government, God used them to close the place down, and I'm a happier person ever since. And then, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen. I don't question when anything happens to me, because I know that God has some kind of a purpose in it. When a bunch of people, the same people that are standing up against us now, are going to, they say they're going to picket in front of my house, if they only knew where I'm living, when they were doing these things to us in the past, not standing in front of our house, but when persecution was coming down, I just always know that this is of the Lord, and I'm telling the people in the out of there in the radio land, those of you that are saved and the people in our church, you better get right with the Lord, because there's always a bunch of people in the church that become lukewarm, and the Lord doesn't want to spew you out of His mouth. So just pray. This is all it is. It's just a thing that the Lord is allowing Satan to do. These people backslid, and they are upset because I won't let them come back into the church, because they still want to live the same way that they did before. And I'm telling you, they're not coming back. And the more they do the things that the Lord is allowing them to do, all that's showing me is I have to get a hold of God, and everybody else in the church has to get a hold of God, and I need to have people pray for our church. We are definitely tearing Satan apart with the Word of God. So pray for us. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint inwardly and anoint outwardly this message this evening. Or whatever it is that the Lord wants, I want you, Father God, to bring the message and let it proceed from your mouth into mine and into the world. Open up every ear, make it a spiritual ear that they may hear. What the Spirit saith unto the churches, and what the Spirit is saying unto those that are out in the world and are still lost. People are so involved with so many other things. I thank you, Lord, for sending a person into the church that we have now gotten a hold of by your Spirit, and people that have wanted to do something evil to the people in the White House, in the government. They have come in, we preached the word to them, and now they want to serve the Lord. And we thank and praise you for that, Lord. And the people of the United States of America ought to be so thankful for this work and for all the other people that have been saved in this work throughout the world that are telling people the truth and that they are getting saved when they wanted to actually become terrorists themselves. And they're now carrying Bibles and preaching the word of the living God. Lord, let that be the case with all the hearers today, or this evening, or this morning, whenever anyone's listening to this program. In the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right.
Dear World Pastor, Christian greetings to you all in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your spiritual literature. I, Pastor Joseph, want to thank you once again with my whole heart for the world newsletters of the Alamo Christian Ministries, which have been a great blessing to our rural Indian people. We distributed the literature along with my Christian brothers who know English in our neighboring city of Hyderabad, but it is very essential to have the literature in Telugu for our villages. Really, we are blessed by your literature and the Messiah book. Our executive committee has passed a resolution to establish the Alamo Christian Church and to worship the Lord on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and have Sunday school at 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., and we have proposed care cells to visit our families twice a week. We believe your doctrines and truths of the Holy Spirit. We need more of your newsletters, Messiah books, and the Holy Bibles. We are taking separate teachings and preachings from your prophecy book and literature. Recently, many non-Christians are coming over to our church and have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and took baptism after reading your literature.
Well, I would say to you, brother or sister, that we have services every evening at 8 o'clock. That's Monday through Sunday. And we have two services on Sunday. And that's how we are able to win so many souls. And that's why Satan is attacking us very hard, and God is allowing it to happen so that people in the world can see that he doesn't frighten us. I say unto the devil, come on quickly over here because I want to rebuke you. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord tells him, get thee behind me, Satan. Depart. Get away. We're not going to do anything that you're saying to do, and you're not going to cause us to fall. I've been at this for 42 years now, almost 42 years, and I just intend to become more and more powerful. God is putting me through the fire for years for one of the biggest ministries, probably the biggest ministry that has ever happened on the face of this earth since he was taken up in a cloud. We have the Chapter 11 ministry, and We have been told by the Lord that we are the spirit of Enoch. Enoch is the one that had to come back to earth. And that is why Enoch to me was the, or as I see in the Word of God, was the most powerful scribe that there was. And I see many people in the Bible that have used the sayings of Enoch, and the spirit of Enoch is here on earth now, and Enoch and his wife are the two witnesses. It's not Elijah and Moses or Elijah and anybody. Elijah, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, has already been here on earth, and he's already been beheaded. It was John the Baptist, Jesus said, if you will receive that from God Almighty. Now the book of Matthew tells of the birth, the first chapter tells of the birth of God come in the flesh. The Bible says that God would come to the world in the flesh. So God came into the world in the body of a human being named Jesus. And it tells of his genealogy. Now, the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important because it shows the lineage of how God was going to come to the world in a man. Now, God had to come to the world in a man because God is a spirit and God does not have blood. The spirit does not have blood. So he had to come to the world in a man. And that man's name was Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so it goes to tell you of all the genealogies, 14 genealogies, another 14 genealogies, and another 14 genealogies of people that to signify the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells that Jesus would be born on a certain day, the Messiah. God would be born as a man on earth on a certain day. And then it said that God, a man, would be crucified and killed on a certain day. Anyone that would come into the world professing to be God in the flesh before the time that God in the flesh was to arrive would be an imposter. And anyone that would die after Christ came, before or after God came in the flesh, would be an imposter. And God, as a man, the Bible said, would be pierced in the side. He'd be nailed to a tree with his hands and feet. His hands would be pierced and his feet would be pierced. And this God in a man that would come to the world, walk right on this planet where you and I are walking and talking, or if you're in a wheelchair where you're being wheeled around or carried around, whatever way your mode of transportation is. And he was here, and he was among us, God in the flesh. And the Bible tells in great detail, and that's why I have outlined a lot of these different details in a book that I've written entitled The Messiah. And it's in many different languages, and you can own this book. It can be yours free of charge. And but anyway, this woman is talking about having services on Sunday and by one other day. But listen, you, the Lord wants to use you every day. You cannot serve the Lord 2 days of the week and then throw 5 days away. You must have services every day because people need to be saved every day. We're living in the last days. And this is not meant to... hopefully this doesn't offend you, but this is the way God has he has led us to have services every day and to be on the streets every day with the gospel in the literature that the Lord has given me, and to be on the air all over the world. And we are on the air everywhere now, so far as I know. I mean, we're paying many thousands of dollars to be on the air every month. Okay, so please, send a tape, this tape number 106 or CD number 106 to this person so that they can know that they need to have services every day and a prayer chain that goes around the clock. If ever people in this world need to pray for one another, it's now. And for people that have been backslidden and these people that... the Lord is allowing to persecute us. They persecuted Christ, and Christ said that they would, God in the flesh said they would persecute us as well. If they persecuted God in the flesh, God is also in our flesh. We are members of God, the Lord Jesus Christ's body. We are the continuation of the Lord Jesus Christ's incarnation. We are actually, God, the Spirit of God is in us, in human, our human flesh, if you're born again of the Spirit. And if you think of yourself anything less, there's no possible way that you're going to keep the commandments or that you're going to go through the fire that certainly is going to come your way, especially in these last days, the tribulations. You, unless you just die, are not going to be raptured out of any tribulations whatsoever. So get strong. Prepare yourself. Prepare your spirit, your soul, your mind for sorrow. But God is going to deliver us through all of our sorrows. We have sorrows, but God has delivered me from them all. And I'm a happy fella right now. And you can be happy and at peace with the Lord if the Lord is in you. Now, let's read the rest of her or his letter.
We are prayerfully coming under your ministry's banner, and our church...
Well, then you will definitely be having services 8 times a week. Okay, then what?
And our church name is called the Alamo Christian Church from today onwards. Please pray for our congregation. We are praying for you and your ministries all over the world. I and my wife and my 2 daughters, aged 11 and 13 years old, convey warm greetings in Jesus' name.
We do also, brother. And we're going to be praying. We're praying for you right now. I'm praying in my heart to you, to the Lord for you right now. I rejoice to hear your devotion to the Lord. And praise the Lord. Then what?
We would like to conduct gospel meetings. Please pray for those meetings and teaching the truths and prophecies from the book entitled Messiah. Pray for our recent cyclone and flood victims in Andhra Pradesh. Thanking you, yours in his service, Pastor Joseph from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Praise the Lord. Okay, where's the next letter from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Let's make sure everyone out there that knows the Lord and in our church get a hold of the Lord. Otherwise, the Lord is going to cause something to happen to you so that you'll have mercy and pray for people like this. And for us, we're undergoing a constant barrage of persecution and slander from Satan. And, you know, of course, we're going through it, but we really covet your prayers, you know, to give everyone in the church the godly stamina, to which is God in us, to go through these tribulations with a smile on our face. All right, then what else?
Pastor Olamo, I appreciate you all for sending us regular supplies of the inspiring literature and of the book The Messiah. It has been of immense benefit both to my spiritual upliftment and that of my brethren in the Lord. I thank God for giving us the link to get in contact with you, Pastor Olamo. It has been a source of revival here in our village. The literature you sent me, I supplied them to my friends, and in fact, most of them, including me, were touched, and we were encouraged in our spiritual beings. Now, for the sake of that, I count myself blessed indeed to be one of your ministry soldiers in Malawi. I am coming from the northern part of Malawi. Pastor, you wrote to me that I should let you know the number of copies that I would need to distribute. I would be happy if you could give us 500 copies, each of them. Too late, the sin of unbelief, beware of receiving blessings from the Vatican, and many more. And you ask me the size of the ministry's t-shirt and sweatshirt we need. We need medium, and color we prefer white. I therefore request Bible dictionary for my spiritual growth. I will appreciate it very much if you could put me on your prayer list in order that I would receive healing after nearly a year of sore pain in my stomach. We all pray that our Father in Heaven...
Well, brother, you've already received healing. The Lord said, by my stripes, if you'll receive this, if you'll agree with the Lord that He is the truth, that you agree 100% that the Lord is the truth, who said, by my stripes, you were healed. Now, if you don't agree with the Lord, well, then you're not healed. By faith, you're saved, and by faith, you're healed. And by faith, we receive everything from the Lord. And so, receive from the Lord, by His stripes, your stomach was and still is healed. Thank the Lord for your healing right now. Thank Him and praise Him and give Him all the glory. In Jesus' name, you already have been healed, so don't let your doubt rob you of that which the Lord has already provided for you a couple of thousand years ago. All right? Thank the Lord for it now. Praise Him and give Him all the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We all pray that our Father in heaven provides all your needs and much more, and above all, the whispered leading of the Holy Spirit daily.
Well, the Lord whispers to us, and He also sometimes talks very audibly to me. I talk to Him day and night when I'm awake, and also He sometimes yells at me. And so I pray that you'll have the same relationship with Him as I do, because I have a strong relationship with our Lord and Savior. And you, He's no respecter of persons. If you'll believe Him for it, if you have faith, all things are possible. Only believe. Have faith. And agree with the Lord that He wants you to communicate to Him so that He can communicate back. He said that He is the Holy Spirit, or He calls the Holy Spirit, or Himself the Comforter. He now lives in us to give us comfort and peace. And peace that passes all understanding. The peace that we have with the Lord is that He lives with us. And if He be with us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
God bless you all. Amen. Yours, Pastor Maluto from Malawi, Africa.
All right, and God bless you also, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Then what?
The next letter is from Abia, Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, God is great to whom great men belong. In what other way can a youth respond after reading your 90-page inspirational book, The Messiah? It is an understatement to say that I was blessed by the book. I have been sharing the magazine and literature you sent to me, and my co-Umwaians have been praising God for such articles. Umuahia is the capital city of Abia State here in Nigeria. It is in the eastern part. I am involved in youth ministry, and I take the gospel to schools. Your literature has been very beneficial to me since I got them. I request for more copies of the book, The Messiah. I have told my members about it, and they all want to have a copy. I have given my copy to a few of them, but I could not satisfy everybody, since myself cannot have enough of the book. It is beside me now as I am composing this letter. Also, copies of the Bible can as well help me to reach out to more souls, particularly the students, youths of my country, are becoming skeptical about the Word of God. They just cannot spend a naira on a Christian article. I read your personal letter to me and observed with tears where you said that we may not meet in this part of eternity. Daddy Tony, heaven will be wonderful since it has promised to solve the distance and all other barriers of the human society. I wish I could see you and hear you tell me with your words of mouth the summary of the prophecies of the Old Testament and their fulfillment in the New. May the Lord God guard and protect you. May He keep you for us, and may He continue to inspire you unto all good works. I am ready to distribute as many literatures and Bibles as you make available to me. Yours in Christ, success, from Abia, Nigeria, Africa.
Now, this is one brother that you can load up with literature, because I know that this brother will distribute it. Amen?
Amen.
Give him whatever he wants, okay?
Yes.
Send him a lot of Messiah books and a lot of literature. And send some Bibles, too, a couple of cases of them. All right, let's equip these brothers that are warriors in the Lord. Glory to God. Okay, so is that all you had so far as letters are this evening?
Yes.
All right, so now let's get into part five of how to have God's life living in you.
The sprouting rod of Aaron was placed in the Ark of God in the most holy place of the temple, along with the hidden manna and the testimony.
All these are representative of the Word of God living in the temple. And now we are the temple, and all these things are living in us. The manna, which is the Word of God, the lampstand, which is the light of the world, a light of us, and also the tree of life. Everything is the Lord. All of our food that we get is from the Lord. All the water is from the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is the Lord. And we are His members in that way. We are members of the Lord, the Almighty God. We are also members of God who has come in the flesh. And that's why the Lord says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen?
Amen.
And that's where we're to tell people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, God's Spirit is living in us. Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit, is living in us, and that's who it is that's talking through me right now. To you folks that are of the church and those of you that are not yet born of the Spirit. Then what?
The sprouting rod of Aaron was placed in the Ark of God in the most holy place of the temple, along with the hidden manna and the testimony, which is the five books of Moses, and the law on two tables of stone, which God himself wrote.
Now the law is so important and so everlasting that God never even entrusted anyone to write the law but himself. He wrote it with his own finger to make sure that everybody knows this is the law of God and it never ends. And people didn't have the power of God in them at that time to keep the law. That's why Christ, in other words, that's why God had to come into the world as a man to shed his precious blood to forgive us of all our sins. Then he went away and was then able to send himself, the life-giving Spirit, into us, the life-giving Spirit of God, God himself come into us, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, to give us the power to be able to keep all the commandments, and even more so. We are even more than conquerors with the power, the grace, or the power. The grace of God is the power of God living in us to keep it, cause us to be able to keep all the commandments, and even more. Things that we do now that we could never do if God was not living in us and through us. Then what?
All are symbolic of God in Jesus living in us, if we are Christians.
Only if we're Christians forever. So you can't, there's no way that just because you profess to be a Christian doesn't mean a thing. The profession isn't anything. It's if the Spirit lives in you, that's when you're a Christian. Then what?
The lampstand in the holy place, the most holy place, the light of the world, the comforter, the resurrection, the vine, the way, the truth, and the life, and many other names are used in the Bible to refer to Jesus, the tree of life.
In other words, God come in the flesh. And the way that we all become members of God's, the Lord Jesus Christ's body, is when the same Spirit that was in him enters into us. And the Bible even says if the same Spirit that lived in Christ and rose him from the dead lives in you, then you also shall be an overcomer, and you shall be raised from the dead as well. And Jesus told Mary that I am the resurrection, and I am the life of the Almighty God, and I go to my Father so that I can, by my Spirit, enter into your bodies and make you members of God as well. I am going away that I can prepare you as mansions for God to live in. In my Father's house, in other words, my Father houses not only in me, this mansion, my body, this temple, but in my Father's house, my Father houses in many mansions, many human bodies. If it were not true, I would have told you. I'm the truth. Now God is going to come down in me and live in you if you believe. Now there's the scripture in the 15th chapter of John that states, it's verses 9 and 10. Come over here and just read it a second here. Now this tells you that if you don't keep God's commandments, then you're not of him. Go ahead and read it.
As the Father hath loved me.
The Father loves me because he lives in me, and because of the fact that he lives in me, I keep his commandments. Then what?
So have I loved you.
As the Father has loved me, I love you. Okay, then what?
Continue ye in my love.
I want you to continue keeping God's commandments, because love is the keeping of God's commandments. Continue ye in my love. Then what?
If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love.
So, in other words, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, which means if you don't keep my commandments, you will not be abiding in my love. That means you will not be loved by me. Okay, but if you, go read that again.
If ye keep my commandments.
This is conditional. They say God loves you unconditionally, this Charles Stanley. But listen to what Jesus said. Only if ye keep my commandments. What does it say? Read it again.
If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love.
You shall live in my love. Then what?
Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
Okay, but if Christ had not kept the Father's commandments, he would not be loved by the Father. He was loved by the Father because he never broke the commandments. Because the commandments, the law of God, not one jot or tittle of the law shall pass away until everything in this world, the end of time comes. Okay? That's until all be fulfilled. All the prophecies. And the prophecies end in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. So all those that continue to the end shall be saved. Oh, but what if we don't continue to the end? Well, does it say those that don't continue to the end will be saved?
No.
No, it says all those that continue to the end shall be saved. But what about the ones that don't continue keeping God's commandments? You will not be saved. You will be lost. See, that's conditional. Everything with God is conditional. Come nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Turn your back on me, and I'll turn my back on you. If you kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. Okay, then what?
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you.
See, he says, I'm showing you how you can be loved by me. I'm saying these things to you, that you're going to have joy living in you because you're going to do everything I say. Because my love is conditional. If you do everything, if you keep all my commandments, then you shall abide in my love. Amen?
Amen.
If not, you're out of my love. I will not love you. And the opposite of love with the Lord is hate. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Because Jacob loved the Lord, but Esau thought everything that was of the Lord was trash. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why he loved Jacob and hated Esau. Esau thought everything that the covenant of the Lord was trash, and Jacob loved everything of the Lord and would even deceive people so that he could have the covenant of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And evidently the Lord never thought there was anything wrong with coveting the things of the Lord so much that you would actually, if somebody says, I want to sell my birthright, in other words, my place in heaven, for a bowl of porridge, here, take the porridge. You want to sell it? I'll buy it. You think that's wrong? Well, I think it's wrong to be like Esau, amen?
Amen.
Or anyone that likes to sell their soul for anything on this side of this of eternity, where it's one of Earth's toys, a new car, an airplane, diamonds, rubies, platinum, or gold, whatever, on this, or food, or booze, or narcotics, or drugs, sex, illicit sex. What good is that going to do you? God does not love you unless you give all these things up. You must give them up so that God can, so that you can abide in God's love. Remember, God came to the world in the flesh of Jesus, and we are the body of Jesus, and therefore, if we're the body of Jesus, then we, inside our bodies, is the same spirit that was in him. The Spirit of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that makes us to where we're powerful, and we can do not only everything that he says, but even more. Because we live according to the law of the Spirit of life in the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus, who was in the body, the human body of Jesus. Now he's in our human bodies. And so therefore we're responsible for what we do, what our bodies do. We can't allow our bodies to think of the things of this world. Why? Because our body is the temple of God and we're housing him. He's living in us and we have to respect his spirit. If we have no respect for his spirit, then we cannot abide in his love. And if we can't abide in his love, then we are lost. It's just that simple. If we don't want to abide in his love, that means that we want his hatred. And he does hate. He said, if those that forget God and cling to the things of this world, he says that they shall, I'll tear them to pieces and I'll cast them into hell in the lake of fire. All right, then what?
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
And how can we have joy? Because we know that if we keep his commandments, that he loves us. Amen?
Amen.
That should cause us to have joy. Amen?
Amen.
Then go on.
This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Okay, in other words, that means to keep the commandments before each other as I have kept the commandments before you, because love is the keeping of God's commandments. All right, then what?
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Yeah, now that means lays down your former life and stops sinning, lying, stealing, lusting after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That you lay all that down so that you can be a good testimony unto others so that they can see that God truly is living in you. If you are living the same kind of life that the people in the world are living, then the Lord, you're not allowing the Lord to live his life out. You're not allowing the Lord to live his life out in you. And you're not allowing him to work in you and through you. And so therefore, you cannot abide in the Lord's love. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You shall live in my love. I'll love you all the time. But if you don't, then I have no pleasure in you whatsoever. Okay. Well, come on, let's get back to... go ahead, read one more. I can see you're eager to read another one of these verses here.
Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
Hey, wait a minute. In other words, where Jesus is friend, God in the flesh of Jesus, we're his friend only if we do whatsoever he asked us to do. That's what he says. God in the flesh says, what?
Ye are my friends.
Wait a minute. God is saying, you are my friends only if. Only if. Isn't that conditional? If you do everything I tell you to do. What are some of the things he asks us to do? He says, pray without ceasing. Give up your old life. I mean, turn your back utterly away from the Lord, the earth, the things of this earth, and towards me. Utterly forsake the sex and the filth and the degeneracy and the degenerate music and the degenerate motion pictures and the degenerate television and the degenerate lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Read that again.
Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you.
If you do whatever I command you, that means to turn for utterly forsake the world. Love not the world is his commandment. If you go and sin no more, because he that sinneth is of the devil. So you see that God does not love you unconditionally. There's the condition. You'll abide in my love if you keep my commandments. And you are my friends if you do everything I tell you to do. And I'm telling you to just turn your eyes to me, the Word of God. The Word of God is God. And you say, grace, you know what grace is? Grace is the power of God. I've been teaching this for over 40 years. grace is God's power. And you'll have God's grace, God's power living in you to keep you with your mind stayed upon the Lord. But it isn't just something that you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do. You have to make yourself be led by the Holy Spirit. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. If you don't discipline yourself, you won't brush your teeth in the morning. You won't get up in the morning. You won't go to work in the morning. You'll be living on welfare. And the Bible says that you're to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. That is, if you're an able person. You have to eat. Some people are so lazy they won't even put the fork into the dish to pick up food, and they want somebody to lift the fork up to their mouth and then get somebody to chew it for them. And somebody are so lazy that they'd love to have it pureed and then put an IV in their arm and just lay there and let the food come into their veins through a needle. Get up and get to work, the Lord says, because if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Then what?
Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth.
See, but the Lord tells you in his word what you're supposed to do. So the Lord teaches us everything of what we're supposed to do so that we are not always scratching our head as what to do. The Lord is plainly tells us what to do. But you have to take it upon yourself to discipline yourself to pick up the Bible, because the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is God. The word of God. The Bible says that the Word is God. So the Bible is God. Pick up God, open it up, and start reading Him, eating Him, and drinking Him, so that you can know all the instructions of how to enter eternity the right way. Up in heaven instead of down in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you.
So in everything that you're supposed to do, the Lord, I mean God come in the flesh, has laid it down in the Word here so that you can know that there's no way that you cannot know what you're supposed to do. And if you want to know what the right religion is, well, so many people are at a quandary as to what church to go to. You know, the Lord doesn't leave that to your imagination. He says, you are the church. The Bible is God. He wants you to fuse the Word of God into you, and He wants you to partake with others that believe the same way you do in the Word. That you to fellowship with all those that receive the Word as God, and that all the others, people that are like you, that will receive God into them, and then you are the church, and the people that you fellowship with are part of the body of Christ. It's a corporate body of a lot of us. The church is not a building or a denomination. It's those of us that allow God to fuse His Word into us, that we can abide, that His Word can abide in us, can live in us, in other words, and that we then are able to live in His Word. And we are then His friends if we abide, in other words, if we do everything that He tells us to do. And it's only possible if the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. In other words, it's only possible if God's life is living in you. Now, I'm telling you in each one of these broadcasts, this being part five, how to have God's life living in you. Amen?
Amen.
And it just happens to be that you're eating from the Word of God, which is the bread of life, or the tree of life. It's the manna of life. It is the Spirit of life. He says He wants you. It's the body of Christ. You're eating God when you're reading God. You're drinking God when you're drinking the Spirit. Jesus, who is God come in the flesh, says that the words I speak to you are Spirit, God's Spirit, and God's life. So read the drink of me and eat of me. It isn't in ritualism. A lot of churches, they take great pains in the drinking wine and breaking bread and all that and eating. That's good to do that, but what the Lord talks about is having communion with Him in the Spirit, with His Word. You communicate to God by reading His Word and then seeing how the psalmist David prayed to Him, how Moses prayed to God, and then you start praying to God in the same way, or whenever any troubles or trials or tribulations comes your way, you pray to God, and as you pray fervently to Him, that for meaningful prayer, I mean, you really mean it, God hears you, and God answers you, and you'll hear Him actually communicating back to you. God is not some myth. God isn't something that somebody dreamed up, a cleverly devised fable. God's way has proven to be the truth. I've never been considered to be stupid, and I've been following the Lord now for almost 42 years, and I found out that everything that He says is 100% true. If you do what the Lord says, you'll have blessings. If you are on a sick bed, ready to die, or the doctor has told you that you're going to die, if you vow to the Lord, if you come to Him and ask Him to enter into your heart, into your body, and if you'll vow that you'll give your life to Him, to learn of Him, and then go out and pass it on to others, God will spare you and heal you. And not only that, you will not go to hell like in the condition you're in right now. If you don't get yourself saved, if you don't allow the Lord to enter into you and cleanse you from all your former sins, if you die, your soul's going straight into hell and then the lake of fire. But if you will allow the Lord to enter into you and you make a vow to Him that you will learn His word and pass it on to everybody else that you come in contact with, then the Lord says He will heal you and He will raise you up. But He knows your heart. He knows everything that you're thinking and what you're doing. Go to Psalm 139 or 137. What was it? 139. Read that.
O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me.
See, the Lord knows you and He searches you and He knows whether you're going to do what He says anyway. And therefore, if you say, I'm going to do it, and He knows you won't, He'll just let you die and go to hell. Keep going.
Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising.
You know when I get up in the morning and when I lay down at night. God knows everything. He knows that about everybody. Okay, then what?
Thou understandest my thought afar off.
You know my thought, the thoughts that I'm going to think in the future even. Then what?
Thou compassest my path and my lying down.
You know when I'm going to lie down. You know everything that everything I'm going to do every day. Then what?
And art acquainted with all my ways.
Keep going.
For there is not a word in my tongue.
You know everything I'm going to do. You're acquainted with all my ways, the way I am. You're what? What was the next one after that?
For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether.
God even knows what we're going to say before we say it. Sometimes I'm going to say something and the Lord checks me. I said, Lord, You knew what I was going to say. You knew what I was going to say, and You stopped me from saying it, and You turned my conversation another way. And this is a perfect time. God knows whether you're going to accept Him. I see my time is up right now. He knows whether you're going to accept Him right now as your personal Savior, if you're going to allow God to enter into you so that you'll be another member of Christ's body. Christ's body incarnate in this world. If you are, then say this prayer to God right now and mean it with all your heart. Say this to God now. If you're in a car or something, and if you're in a bus and there's people around you, don't be ashamed. If you're ashamed of God on this side of eternity, He'll be ashamed of you before His Father and His holy angels. Now, Father, I'm coming unto You now, Lord, for salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that You, Father, raised Him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that even includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me. You said, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord for saving your soul. Okay? If you've done this, you're now a member of Christ's body. And so make sure that you know that everything with God is conditional. Now you have to read the Word and pour more and more of God in you until you grow up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. This won't happen overnight, and don't let anything discourage you or to try to get you to drop out from being born again of the Spirit, because if you're a dropout, it'll be 1,000 times worse for you than it ever would be if you hadn't even accepted Him at all, because you'll be trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot and putting Him out to an open shame. But don't let anything discourage you. Just keep going on. If you have problems, call our line, our phone line, or email us. So, praise the Lord. Tomorrow we'll be doing part 6 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo stating, if you need to have this tape, it's tape 106, or you can have a CD 106. Just call us, write us, whatever. This is World Pastor Lama saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.